To John's Gospel, chapter 14. I want to pick up where we left off this morning, verse 8 through the end of the chapter. Verses 8 through 14 this afternoon. Jesus had been talking to his disciples, and as we saw this morning, he'd been telling them about the hope that they had, and that he hadn't forgotten about them, and that he would be with them. Now, first we had Thomas with his question, how could he go? And now Philip has a question for the Lord. And he says, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it shall suffice us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or elsewise believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Lord, we pray that you would just open up your word to us, and give us understanding of your word this afternoon. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There's some very interesting things in the passage that we're going to look at this afternoon. And the first begins with Philip. Philip, as you remember, was one of the first disciples that Jesus had called. We saw that he called him. It's recorded just about in the very beginning of the book of Gospel of John. Philip lived up in the Capernaum area. And Jesus called him. He was, I believe, the third disciple that Jesus called. And as he called him, Philip had then gone and got Nathanael and told him about the Lord. Philip, as we see later on in the book of Acts, was used by God to be an evangelist. He's the one that went to the eunuch from Ethiopian eunuch and explained to him what Isaiah was speaking about, who this man that Isaiah was speaking about, and that it was Jesus, and led that man to the Lord and baptized him. And so we see that Philip was used by God tremendously. But at this point in time, Philip has a question. He says, Lord, if you'll just show us the Father, then it'll be sufficient for us. Then we can believe. Just show us the Father, and we'll believe everything you've said is really what Philip is saying. And you stop and think, that's a pretty amazing statement for a man that's been with Jesus just about since the very beginning of his public ministry. He's seen everything he's done. He's heard everything he's said, and yet he hasn't heard it. And it's amazing because the statements that Jesus is going to make, there is no doubt left to anyone's mind that he is proclaiming to be God by the time he is done with this. But Philip is asking him, just show us the Father, Jesus, and we'll believe you. We'll believe everything. Then we'll know that what you're saying is that you're going to prepare a place for us. And then we'll know it. Then we'll know that you're the truth, the way, and the life. Then we'll know it. Just show us the Father. And Jesus' response to Philip, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? In other words, Philip, haven't you heard what I've been saying? Haven't you seen what I've done? Don't you know who I am? Now, again, this is even more of a profound question by Philip when one stops and thinks that Jesus, as he was walking with his disciples on the way to Jerusalem, had asked him, who do men say that I am? And remember, they'd answered and they said, well, some say that you're that you're Elijah the prophet. Some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're another prophet, the prophet that Moses said. And then, remember, then Jesus asked them, but who do you say that I am? And then Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay? And he spoke exactly who Jesus was, the anointed one, the Son of God, that had come in fulfillment of all the prophecies of the Old Testament. Guess who was there when he said that? Philip. He'd heard it. And as a matter of fact, you didn't hear any of the disciples disagreeing with what the statements that Simon Peter made. They all saw that he was the Christ. They believed he was the Christ. Later on, some of the rest of them would say and acknowledge that he was the Christ, the anointed one of God. But now Philip's coming and saying, well, show us the Father. Then we can believe. Well, what's happened here? Well, because he's told them that he's going to die. And so this is throwing confusion, evidently, into the disciples' minds. You've looked at one and you've believed that he is the Son of God. You believe that he's the anointed one. And now he's telling you he has to die and leave you. And so Philip says this. Jesus says, ask him, have you been so long and you don't know me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Now, here's the first of a number of statements that Jesus is going to make. And he's making them, it's basically saying the same thing, reiterating it over and over. Remember, we said that if Jesus says something once, it's important. It's always important, because as we saw this morning, he's the way, the truth, and the life. And he speaks the truth. He reveals to us the truth from God, because he is God come in the flesh, and so he's sharing with us that which is true. So if Jesus says anything in his word, if he proclaims anything in his word, it's important. If he says it twice, it's really important. If he says it three times, you better get it, because it's extremely important. But he's going to say the same thing once, twice, three times, over and over, just verbalizing it just a little different, but proclaiming the same thing, that his disciples will get it. And it is that he and the Father are one. If you've seen him, you've seen the Father. If you've heard him, you've heard the Father. And if you believe in him and know him, you believe and know the Father. So he says to Philip, Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest then thou, show us the Father? Because you've seen who I am. You see what I teach. You've seen what I've done. You see what I say. You see how I what I've proclaimed. Then he says following, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. And so he proclaims this again. First he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, that's evident that if you make that statement, then you're one and the same. Now he says, I'm in the Father's in me. That means that they are one, they are the same. And it says here that the Father, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. In other words, Jesus is saying, I didn't come here on my own. And the Greek philosophers, they spoke out of their own intellect. For example, Plato and Aristotle and Socrates, they're the famous Greek philosophers who came up with all these ideas on how men function and what men believe and all this. But they came up with ideas, but they weren't God-inspired. Jesus said, the words that I've spoken to you are my Father's words. But not only that, the works that I've done are my Father's works. What do we take this from? Well, if you can go back in the Old Testament, the prophets foretold of the coming Messiah, the Son of God, that would come to take away the sins of the world, and that he would do certain miracles. John has shown us many of the miracles that the Old Testament prophets foretold the Messiah would do. One of them in particular we've talked about before, and that is that there would be a dumb, that is, by dumb I mean someone who cannot speak, a dumb man, a person who cannot speak, who would be demonically possessed, and the Messiah would be able to cast the demon out of him. Now, if you would go back and look at the priests in the temple, they had would cast out demons, but they would talk to the demon, but they could not cast out a demon that would not respond to them. Jesus, when he came up, he commanded the demon to speak, and the demon spoke. Why? Because he was God. Remember the various times that the demons saw Jesus and he was coming and casting them out of various people. One of the first things they do, "We know who you are, thou art the Son of God." And then they also, when he cast them into the swine, remember, they begged him to cast them into the swine and not send them to await the final judgment in Hades or hell, that they would, where they're going to be waiting to be thrown into the lake of fire. He said, "Don't bind us before our time." In other words, there are some of them that had already been bound, awaiting that day, and these ones had not been bound, and they begged Jesus, "Don't, but cast us into the swine instead," which he did, and then he immediately caused the swine to die. But they knew who Jesus was, and they proclaimed him to be the Son of God. So they have seen this, and the works that he has done, he's did not by his power, but by the power of his Father. When he raised the dead, when he healed the sick, when he fed the 5,000. All of these miracles were done not by his own power as a man, but his power as God, and the power came from his Father because he is one with his Father. And then also, going back to the first miracle that's recorded in John, turning of the water into wine at Cana, where really it showed the creative power of God, where he could create something out of that which didn't exist before. The wine didn't exist. It was water, totally different, yet he turned it into wine. He was able to create. And so we see this is the power of God. He's telling us, "My works came from the Father and revealed that the Father's in me." So we see here the three incidents already where he's talked about the Father and him being one in the other and being one with the other. "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Now, he tells them, if you're not going to believe me for my words, believe me for my work's sake. And then he's going to tell them something extremely important. And this is something that each one of us needs to hear, because oftentimes, even the song that Barb picked for us to sing before the message, before prayer time this afternoon, was "Little as Much When God Is In It." And sometimes we think, well, there's not much going on in my life, there's not much going on in my space, I don't have very many people I seem to be able to reach. But I want you to tell you, little as much when God is in it. And Jesus is going to tell this to the disciples. And if you ever thought of people that would have little impact in the world, it would be these 12 men. If you stop and think, these 12 guys were following an itinerant rabbi around Israel for 3 years, and what impact would they ever have on the world? The world would look at them and say, none. As a matter of fact, after Jesus was dead, buried, and rose again, and had come back and appeared to them and commissioned them, and had given them power and said he's going to pour out his Spirit upon them, remember, they went into the temple and the disciples started preaching. And so they were hauled before the Sanhedrin. And they answered the Sanhedrin with such powerful words that the Sanhedrin couldn't even understand how these men could say these things, because then they turned to one another and said, "Aren't these uneducated Galileans? How do they speak these things?" Well, it's because they had the power of God. It wasn't them speaking with their own intellect, but it was God's Spirit speaking through them and through the things that Jesus had taught them while he was with them. Now, he tells them this right now. They haven't experienced that yet, but they're going to. And Jesus tells them, "Verily, verily," listen here, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that some people are going to be able to heal. Some people are going to be able to cast out devils. Some people are going to be able to pray and miracles will happen. There are incidents, and I didn't write any down, which I should have, to give you examples. But just think of various incidents where missionaries have been on the field, and they have been in a situation where there'd be a native that's dying or very ill, and the natives will go, well, if your God is who you say he is, then he should be able to heal this person. And the missionary will pray that God will heal them, and healing will come. And it's not anything that the missionary did. It wasn't anything that he had. He didn't have any medical supplies or training. It was the power of God. And God used that to reach some of these native indigenous peoples who didn't believe in God. And so God does that. But Jesus makes an interesting statement. He says, you're going to do these works, and you'll see the people throughout history, Christians throughout history, have done some of those things. But then he makes another statement. He says, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Because I'm going to the Father, you're going to do even greater works than the things that I have done and the things that you have seen. Now I want you to stop and think about it. How could there be greater works that we could do than Jesus did when he was on? I haven't raised anybody from the dead. I haven't healed anybody that's sick. I haven't cast out any demons. I haven't done those things. So how have we done greater things than that? Well, if you stop and think about it, first of all, when Jesus came and walked upon the earth, he traveled a very limited space as far as geographical area. He traveled from south of Jerusalem to the northern part of Israel, which is only 100 some miles or less. And then he traveled from east of Jericho a ways over towards the Mediterranean Sea. He traveled in what is today much of Israel today. That was about the area that Jesus traveled. He went up to Tyre and Sidon area once, which would have been up in southern Lebanon. He was in Syria once, which would be right up northeast of current Israel. But that's as far as he went. Today, do you realize there are Christians all over the world? I just want to give you one example of how there are greater things that we are doing today than Jesus ever did. You can look at our little church and we say, well, what impact do we have? I was just telling Sheila before the service. Do you realize that I know that at least 258 people have looked at our website? How do I know that? Because 258 people have clicked upon the little video that we have introducing our church. We have a greater impact than we realize on even people around here. There are people that have come and listened to messages on our website that don't come to church here. We don't know about it. But I'm going to give you one that's even better than that. David Hocking is a minister that has preached at our conferences when we've had conferences here, when our churches put on conferences. David Hocking was a minister in Southern California. Prior to that, he had a ministry in Indiana. And when he was in Southern California, he had a church with about 5,000, 6,000 people in it. But do you realize that David Hocking hasn't had a church ministry for about, I believe it's 10 or 15 years, is when he quit having a church ministry. Today he's in his mid-70s. I talked to David Hocking about a year ago, and he said, Glenn, I never believe it. He said, I have my Bible study that I put on the internet. And he said, do you realize that they have said there are literally over 1 million people around the world listening to my Bible study on the internet? And I want to tell you the countries they're listening in. China, Russia, he said Muslim countries, India, Pakistan, as well as Europe. He said places I could never go. And yet, and he teaches on Monday nights. He teaches internet Bible study, and he usually goes through one of the books of the Bible, and he's preaching through the book of the Bible on Monday nights, and he's saying, these people are being taught God's word in places you couldn't go as a missionary. But yet, my word is going over the airwaves. We're doing greater things than Jesus even did when he walked on the earth. When Jesus was here, he didn't go to China. He didn't go to Europe. He didn't go to Africa. He was just in Israel. Today, his word is going out through his servants around the world. The power of God is even greater. And you just stop and think that he's got little churches all over this country. And we need to pray for those Bible-believing churches. Churches that are little and think, we don't make any difference. Yes, we do. Because we are the light and the salt in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. And we are the ones that can proclaim the truth and do those great and mighty things that are even greater than Jesus did when he walked on the earth. So that's what he's telling his disciples. And he says, that's the hope you have. It's not that I have to be here with you, but I'm going to my Father so that you can do these great and mighty things. Now I want you to just stop and think about the disciples that he's speaking to here. Did they do greater things than Jesus did? Was that word fulfilled in their lives? Absolutely yes. Those disciples took the gospel, and you stop and think, there were these 12 men, really 11, because Judas was a traitor. Judas didn't, a non-believer. Judas sold out Jesus. So there was 11 men left, and then Paul came. He was an apostle, and then plus Matthias was added to the original 11. Those men took the gospel, and if you see what they did, within the span of their lifetime, the gospel went from Jerusalem into Judea, into Samaria, and it went into Europe. It went into India. Thomas took the gospel to India. There are Christians that trace their churches in India today back to the Apostle Thomas coming and bringing the gospel and converting people to Christianity in India shortly after the death of Christ. There are people in England, in Scotland, in Ireland, in Wales, where the gospel was taken during the time of the apostles, or shortly thereafter. You talk about greater things that were done just within that time, and they didn't have automobiles and airplanes and computers and radios and televisions. They were doing it by foot, just sharing verbally and getting Bibles and literature and printing it out in the people's languages. That is a tremendous thing that did. See how the gospel exploded around the world. We did do greater things. But then he tells us something even greater. And you know what? We're out of time. So we're going to stop with that. Next time we're going to talk about prayer. Because prayer, he talks about prayer and the importance of prayer. And I just want to tease you a little bit with that and give you a little bit, because he says, ask and it shall be given to you in my name. Now what does God want us to do? Because that's what we're supposed to be asking for. And so when we pray for one another, we're to be praying in the will of God, and he will do what we pray for because it's his will. So next Sunday morning we'll be looking at prayer. So let's just close now. Father, we pray that you'd be with us, speak to us, and help us to see that you called us to do great things to bring glory to your name and to lift up your Son. And Father, we pray that you would just help us to go from this place. Lord, be with us, and Lord, we know that you have already opened some doors, and Father, we pray that you would help us to walk through them, give us boldness to share, the right words to share, and Lord, we pray that you would go before us preparing hearts. And Father, we just think, especially Jim and Sheila's, they're going to be taking this trip, and they're going to be meeting a lot of people that they haven't met before. And Father, I pray that you just open up hearts and that hearts would be ready to hear, and you give them both boldness and the right words to share. And Father, that greater things than you even did will be accomplished by the power of your Spirit, because you are in heaven interceding for us. Lord, now we pray that you go with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you turn to 506, hymn number 506. Thank you. open our eyes.